Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
Surprise. Surprise, surprise. I know I said I would have Adam Thayer on in this episode, and it just so happened that I was able to get a hold of these two brothers, Brother Johnny and Brother Rob, and the premiere is like next weekend. So I wanted to make sure I got this episode out before the premiere, and it's a really cool interview that we did. I just want to get right into that. If you remember, I talked about these great guys who were featured in the California Freemason magazine who are doing a new type of expose on Freemasonry called The Royal Art of Freemasonry. And I got a hold of the editor who put me in contact with Johnny and Robert, and we got that interview done. So let's go right into it. I know you guys are going to love it. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. This week we've got on two guests, and you've heard me mention their spot before. They had a small spot here as a, well, not a small spot. You guys had a whole page thing in the California Freemason magazine under the title The Storytellers, and it was about two Masons, Robert Doan and Johnny Royal, age 34 and 41. Basically, these guys were out of Santa Monica Palisades Lodge number 307, where I visited, and I was there for Robert Patrick Lewis's raising. I flew out to your lodge to hang out there, and I hung out with Harry Maslin, who was a really hip guy. We had lunch, and really, really knowledgeable guy. But anyway, so I said I have to get you guys on after I saw this trailer. So I had to get you guys on after I saw the trailer for The Royal Art of Freemasonry, this teaser trailer you had that was built into the article for the California Mason. So first of all, thanks for coming on the show, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. So
yeah, we like always say that in unison. It's awesome.
We're literally
on the same page at the same time all the time.
Yeah.
That's perfect. So if I could, first of all, just get a little bit about you and your Masonic journey. We'll start with Johnny Royal. I understand you guys are both Masons out of California, out of this lodge, and Robert has since made a move, and you're in the Detroit area, but if you guys could both give me just a little bit about yourselves, and we'll start with Johnny Royal.
Sure. So I was initiated in 2008. I went through the first 3 degrees, and after that, immediately after that, I joined both the Scottish Rite and the York Rite. I went through all three bodies in the York Rites, the Royal Arch, the Cryptic Council, and the Order of the Temple, and I'm very active in the Los Angeles Valley Scottish Rite. I'm a cast member in pretty much every degree, and a lot of the inspiration for the film came out of, you know, after I had received my fellowcraft degree, it made such a profound impact on me. I wanted to try to figure out a way to tell the story without obviously breaking oaths or obligations, but kind of sharing the emotional experience of, you know, how transformative it can be by going through the different degrees. And I'm in the line now. I'll be chaplain in the Santa Monica Palisades Lodge next year. I'm captain of the host and the LA Valley Scottish Rite. So that's my Masonic path so far.
That's great. And we'll go over to you, Robert. What's going on with you, and how did you get started?
I actually joined, I must have been 18 or 19 years old, so that would have been 2001, 2002. I got my first degree, and actually didn't really, it wasn't the time in my life when Masonry was super important, so I got my first degree and then went about my life, and it wasn't for another 4 or 5 years until I came back. I was actually in San Francisco for the annual communication of the Grand Lodge of California as an entered apprentice Mason, and I met a couple of guys from Santa Monica Palisades, which was just a few miles from my home lodge, and I felt an instant connection with those guys, and that was really what got me back into the lodge to take my other degrees. Once I became a Master Mason, I affiliated with Santa Monica Palisades number 307 and basically got the opportunity to hit a chair right away. So I was actually junior deacon for almost 3 years and then basically made my way through the line. I was master in 2014 and I became a Scottish Rite Mason in 2017 because it was in the spring. Anyway, I got the opportunity to join this project. Johnny and I have been friends for a long time. He's my best friend on the planet, and it just so happens that we got to make
best
film.
Friends forever.
Yeah, we're like I was saying earlier, we're always on the same page. It's the connection we have is it makes my day every day. But anyway, the point is that he brought me onto this project and we were able to finish it up, and it was all about a gift to the fraternity that we love so much. You know, both of us kind of have a different story, but Masonry has been it's very important to us. It's added a lot of depth to our lives, and we've just kind of grown together on this journey of making this film. And just so you know, the film, we had almost 100 hours of footage, but it's actually over 100 hours of footage by the time we were done. Boiling that down into 90 minutes really wasn't easy, but a part of it was so rewarding, right? Because we got to talk about all these different things and just kind of sort of meditate on them to figure out what was going to make the best story. And it really came together because we were able to figure out that what we're doing really related closely with the hero's journey.
Yeah.
And so we sort of cut the film together that way, and it's turned out really beautiful. We're really excited about it. It's like we said, it's meant as a love letter to the fraternity. So hopefully people like it and it's intriguing to people and answer some questions, whet some appetites.
Yeah. So if I could interrupt for just a minute here, you know, when I thought about this, there has been few, I would say, decent documentary type pieces on Freemasonry. The first one that came to mind was something History did a while back. It was Freemasonry Revealed, and it was like a two-part DVD series that was pretty decent. It had your typical players in it. We talked, you know, they had Brent S. Morris from the Scottish Rite come on, and there were a few other players in there that you've typically seen in these things. And of course, Sky One is more recent, did their documentary series over in England, which was a quote-unquote unprecedented look at the fraternity. But from what I understand, it was really not received as well as it could have been in terms of what it was displaying. It almost looked like it was a newer version of a typical fraternity. Nothing too special. But returning back to something you said was this idea of a hero's journey. And then when you also said 90 minutes, I thought, wow, this is actually something that you guys spent a lot of time on. This isn't some 20-minute thing. This isn't some 40-minute deal or whatever. That also intrigued me. And then the other documentary that came out that hasn't gotten too much press, it's got a lot of press, I guess, but it hasn't had a lot of distribution, is this Terra Masonica. How is your film different than those? And, like, what do you guys really hope to accomplish with this?
This is Johnny. I'll answer the first part of that question, then I think Robert can answer the second part really well. But I think what the main difference is that the amount of time that was spent trying to put this story together, you know, this was made over 7 years. And when this was first started, the overarching narrative, you know, we had no idea really what it was. We just set out to do some interviews and get some B-roll and film the things that we could. But then, you know, as Robert had mentioned, what we discovered, it's really the hero's quest, meaning that we have all of these different characters and these dramas and these rituals that we play out in our lodge, or in the Lodge Perfection, or in the Royal Arch. But so you have these heroes and villains. And really what we started understanding is that what that teaches is that you are able to be the hero or the villain in your life on a daily basis, depending upon the choices that you make. And it's such an easy type of axiom to kind of put out there, but to really comprehend that it's a very profound thing. The other part of it that I think really makes this different is that this explores the entire American Masonic structure. So a lot of these History Channel specials and some of these other ones that go out, you know, they go up to the third degree of the Blue Lodge, and, you know, they've tried revealing the secret handshakes and all these different things like that. Like, ours doesn't go anywhere near that. Ours talks about the monitorial Masonic allegories that are behind the degrees. So you kind of get to really understand, like, what's the degree kind of about? But then more importantly, how does that apply to your daily life? So the film is broken up into three acts. The first act is how people discover Masonry and why they join it. The second act is the entire Masonic structure. So ours goes through all of Blue Lodge. It goes through all of Scottish Rite up to the 33rd degree. Then it goes through all of the York Rite for, so, Royal Arch, Council of Cryptic Masons, and the Order of the Temple. The final act, which is really interesting, is that it's kind of a time capsule piece. So we asked the major characters that ended up being major figures in the film, where they felt Masonry was going in 10, 20, 100 years, 200 years, 300 years. And we found out that regardless of there's a brother from Jamaica, there are brothers from Nashville, there are brothers from California, all these different places, but there's this kind of common alchemical thread that flows throughout the narrative of it. And when we were watching the footage back, we're like, wow, like these guys are disconnected and they've never met, but yet they're telling a very similar type of story. As far as what we hope to accomplish with that, I think Robert answered that pretty well.
So yeah, Johnny makes some great points. And I think one of the main purposes of making this putting together this project was giving back to a system of governing yourself that just helped us immensely in our lives, right? And it wasn't necessarily meant to be professorial or overly academic, but more about, you know, sort of practical understanding and how we would really, why we participated and where we think it's going based on the people that are participating now. And I think ultimately, you know, our goal really simple, right? In a world with so much chaos and just unexplainable things, we really wanted to bring some civility back to that and kind of bring people back to home base and realize, hey, we're all in this together and there's a way for us to work together and interact to make this entire planet a better place. And I don't mean to sound like sort of overly idealistic or that we're chasing some pie in the sky dream. But really, when you kind of look at how the film was put together and how we had a similar thread throughout interviews with people who'd never met in life and didn't interact as a part of this project, it really brought it home for us because we realized that what we were doing actually made sense. It matters. And I really hope it draws people in and engages them at a deeper level.
You know, you said a few things in there throughout this questioning process so far that have struck me. And one of them is dedication. You didn't mention it directly, but to say that if I heard this right, you took 7 years on this?
Yes,
that's correct. Yeah.
That is a dedication that is largely unheard of, especially when we think about, for our profane listening, we talk about the wages of a master mason and I joke that the wages of a master mason are lapel pins, but, you know, we really have this, we have this fascination with them. But, you know, aside from that, I mean, to spend so much of your time putting something together that, of course, there could be some sort of, if you're a marketer out there and you come up with a Masonic product or something, of course, you sell a Masonic product and maybe that's your business. And that's aside from that. But to spend a lot of time on something like this, which gives back to the fraternity a whole lot more than it's ever going to get back into you, I really think speaks a lot to your character and to your dedication to the craft. And for that, I have to thank you. I want to also ask, when you step back and you look at this film, when I watch the trailer, and I've posted the trailer on our Facebook page a few times, and you guys have gotten some interesting traction there. When we look at this, this is not like shot poorly. When I'm watching this, I thought, wow, this is the real deal. This is like cinematic film experience. It looks great. It sounds great. You guys killed it with the soundtrack within the trailer. I thought was really, really great. I'm huge on music. So I want to ask though now, how do you feel? Do you guys, when you step back and look at this, do you think you made this for Masons or is it more for the profane? Or do you think that it rides this delicate balance of both? Like the Mason is going to love it and maybe it drives the profane to go ask. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that it's a combination of both of those things, but I think that there's something bigger that ended up surfacing. I think that we made it for the virtue of truth itself, because there's so much beauty and there is so much goodness and light within this fraternity. And that really, some of the people, like the distributors that had watched it, there was a really great compliment and one that, you know, some people are like, oh, it's really interesting in this and that. But when the people really took the time to watch it as we were kind of finalizing everything, all of them said kind of a similar thing, which was that it left us with this feeling of peace. And I was just like, that's the best compliment that you could get after putting 7 years of your life into something and so much time and money, you know, putting the story together. But for me personally, it wasn't about, even from the very beginning, it wasn't something that I was like, oh, I want people that aren't Masons to see what this is, or I want this to be just for the brothers. It was about serving the virtue of truth itself. It was about serving the light itself.
That's fascinating. It's incredible the way you guys have put this together. Like I said, you knocked it out of the park with the trailer, so I can't wait to see it. When we look at some of the concepts regarding Masonry, and I think all the Masons have heard this before, which is something along the lines of, we don't recruit, we shouldn't have videos, Mason shouldn't be on the web. You know, these are things that some famous Masonic, quote-unquote Masonic celebrities have had problems with. You know, Masonry shouldn't be on the internet at all, this kind of stuff. How do you feel about that? Like, what do you say to the Masons who don't think we need this kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, that that's definitely a pretty common theme. One thing you'll find if you take a look at the demographics of Masonry as an example, we have men from all different age groups, different walks of life, different belief systems, and we can all come together and sort of meet on the level, as we say. But I think in terms of sharing that with the public, you do get people who tend to pick a side. It tends to be a polarizing topic. And to Johnny's point earlier, you know, I think that one of the main things we were able to accomplish was building this sort of testament without basically building this story or this visibility to something that matters so much to us without kind of revealing some of the more secret things of Freemasonry, right? Or Johnny mentioned grips and different modes of recognition. We didn't really bring that into it. It's more about telling a story that kind of weaves through people of just, I mean, it could touch anyone all over the planet, right? It's not unique to one specific geographical area or one specific culture or religion or anything other than that we all believe in a supreme being and a future existence, right? So it's really inclusive rather than it is exclusive. And I think that, I think it's going to speak to people. Obviously, there'll be people who have a problem with it and they'll think, oh, well, you shouldn't be sharing this stuff with the public, but it's 2017, right? We're in a different world than we were 100 years ago or even 50 years ago or even 25 years ago. Getting that message out there and engaging people and magnetizing the right people to what we're doing, I think is a side effect of something that was truly meant as a thank you.
I like the way you put that, magnetizing the right people to what we're doing. There is definitely this thread that I think there is an inherent calling for certain people, and maybe they don't actually know what that's for until they see something like this.
Yeah, and conclude on that point. I mean, what this makes me think about is that whether you're in California or whatever state in the United States, or you're in Africa, or you're in Afghanistan, or if you are in Iraq or Iran or Russia, when the stars come out at night and you look up at the stars, we're all looking at the same thing.
That's a great point. When I watch this trailer, it feels like it's taken more of a symbolic look at things, as you guys have kind of alluded to. And with that, are you guys more on the symbolic, philosophical side of things, or do you gravitate more toward the service club, social club aspect of the fraternity?
That's a great question. In terms of symbolic versus practical applications, I think, you know, for me to really embrace and incorporate Freemasonry in our life, it includes both, right? So part of it is that symbolic deep dive into yourself to sort of understand who you are and what your purpose is here when you're in this realm, right? But then the other part of that is once you figure out what that is and who that is and why that is, then you have no choice but to apply it practically. Otherwise, there's sort of a struggle internally, right? It's something very palatable and very noticeable, right? If you put in the effort to discover who you are and then you don't apply that in your daily life, there's a misalignment there.
Yeah.
So for me, while I love being connected with a lodge, with a group of guys and having my friends, I can practice Masonry on my own in my daily life, right?
Yep.
I'm a manager of people at a logistics company, and many of the principles of Freemasonry have made it into my coaching sessions with my people just because they're practically applicable and really lead to a better way of conducting yourself in the world. And I think that's been one of the most profound things for me in applying Masonry in my life, is that it was internal, but then it became external.
Yeah, kind of the natural progression of things, really, if we really do what we espouse to do. I think that's a natural way of things. When and where are we going to be able to see the full product?
Well, we have the red carpet world premiere Friday, October 13th, at the annual communications at the Grand Lodge of Freemasonry in California at the Masonic Theater. So that's open to the public. Anybody that would like to come can buy a ticket at freemasonry.eventbrite.com. And then after that, from December through January, I believe, there is going to be screenings in several different cities across the United States. Some will be at other Grand Lodges and some at some Scottish Rite temples. And then shortly after that, I believe in February, the DVD drops, as well as video on demand and subscriber video on demand, like Amazon, iTunes,
right on,
Voodoo, you know, those kind of platforms.
It is a real issue these days. Within the fraternity, we have so many guys who have a lot of these projects, and they are homegrown, And what that means is we're funding these ourselves. We're having to do all of the work and all of the legwork. And a lot of times these things build up and they build up and they build up, and then they kind of fizzle out or they don't happen. So it's really exciting to me to hear that you guys have a plan for this and that we have a DVD coming and we have screenings, and it sounds like you guys are doing it right. So I'm really excited for that, as I know many of our listeners will be. So let's talk about your crew a little bit.
Obviously we had a great crew. Well, maybe it's not obvious to you, but it's obvious to us. We had a fantastic crew putting this together. You know, it was almost an entirely volunteer crew. Like you said, this project was self-funded. Johnny put a lot of his personal wealth into making this what it is. And, you know, I would say the entire crew invested their sort of blood, sweat, and tears. And I can guarantee you that we had all three when we were shooting. This was definitely a labor of love and was more about really just telling the story and bringing that visibility to the world. I mean, it was less about sort of the financial part of it, right? Like we spent money and we were happy to do it. Or we invested our time and our energy and we were happy to do it. It was never about the return. It was always about the project.
When we talk about the crew and how amazing they were, was your crew all Masonic, or how did you go about picking people to work on this? You know, obviously you said that most were volunteers. How did you go about that?
So the first person that I want to mention is our music supervisor, Sean Bevan. I had worked with Sean in some music projects that I've done before. He's an incredible musician, composer, re-recording mixer. He worked with, he produced and mixed a lot of the Nine Inch Nails records and Marilyn Manson records, lots of other things. But Sean is a member of the Santa Monica Palisades Lodge, and his wife, Juliet, is credited as a co-producer and a composer as well, too. And I sat with them kind of working through music cues, and just the way the two of them worked together was just absolutely incredible. I mean, Juliet's one of the best producers you can hope to work with on any type of project. She and I worked together on lots of commercial things. She really helped keep things organized and still does. The next person is Ernest Chapman. He's actually the organist and a member of the Nashville Valley Scottish Rite, but a lot of the beautiful piano playing in the film, that's Ernest doing that. And Jason Pachomsky, who's our supervising editor. Jason's also a member of Santa Monica Palisades Lodge, and Jason has edited some really big projects, worked on some really big things with this company. The most important, though, were the cast members that volunteered their time to come on and to tell their story, and the lodges and the temples that allowed us to shoot, especially the amount of support that we've gotten from the Grand Lodge of California and Alan Casalew. You mentioned Harry Maslin earlier in the call, but Harry's been really supportive. The new key art that we just rolled out, the master of our lodge this year, Scott Gilbert, shot that. It was designed by Ryan Douglas, who I work with on the commercial side of things. Bob Davis, who was at the time when we filmed at Guthrie, he was the secretary of the valley down there. He's a big reason of helping getting this thing off the ground. He's in the film. The Valley of Guthrie itself, all the members, the Nashville Valley of Scottish Rite, Dan Jones, who's the secretary there, Jeff Duncan, John Eberly, who are parts of the stage crew down there, Tom and Ryan Driver, Park Parham. I mean, the list goes on and on, but it was for I would say 90 to 95% of the people that were on the cast or the crew side were Freemasons.
Wow, that's incredible.
I think we'd also like to give a shout out to all the people that we interviewed and who participated who are not featured. As we mentioned before, we had so much footage and all of it was so good, but we had to be very picky, and not to say that some was better than the other or vice versa. It was more about telling the story. So we have hours and hours and hours of footage of great men doing great things that we just can't use for this project, and I don't want them to go unnoticed, you know?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, you got absolutely, you know, sequels for years, perhaps.
You know, one last thing is that, you know, you had mentioned that part of your audience are members, are Masons that are in the armed forces. And I think on behalf of all of us from the Royal Art Team, we would like to say thank you for your service. We thank you for doing what you're doing, and we pray that you'll stay safe and that we look forward to hearing from you when you get to see the movie, wherever you are, whatever base you're on.
Yeah, that's
absolutely
fantastic.
I'd like to echo that statement 100%. Very grateful for those who have sacrificed so that we can continue.
Well, it's great, guys. I mean, can't thank you enough for coming on the program. But before we go out, I want to ask, first of all, I will pose it to both of you. We'll go to Johnny first. What's a piece of advice that you would give a new Mason?
Do the work and take the time to study it, because what you're learning is basically the culmination of the best of human history. And it's the gifts that you can get out of it will change your life tremendously, and it will illuminate you. There's the old saying, noce te ipsum, know thyself, and from thyself you can know others. And that's really the piece of advice I would give, is that, because I'm still learning the work, you know, like I was just in the mountains and I took Morals and Dogma with me, and we just did the 30th degree, but I was reading that chapter. And but put in the work. Don't just go and get your degrees. Don't not participate, and not for the sake of, no, the lodge needs people to be active, but it's really for you. It's to help you. It helps bring light where there is darkness in your life. It helps you to find balance, and it helps you to be a better person. And by becoming a better person, that's the only way that the world is going to change. That's the only way. You can cast your vote in our elections. You can do this and that, but really what matters is how you conduct yourself in your daily life, and making those choices in those moments that come up so instantaneously, where you can, you know, you might feel anger, or you might feel sadness, or you might feel this darkness. But if you take a moment and just breathe, and you remember that from, you know, the lessons that were taught in Masonry, just take that moment and don't react and think it through. That's the advice that I would give, is just do the work, put in the work.
Right on. Well said. Well said. How about you, Rob? What's your piece of advice for a new Mason?
So, I mean, I think if you ask 10 different Masons, you'll get a sort of a similar response.
Sure.
But to kind of echo Johnny's sentiment, you know, it's all about how we conduct ourselves in the world, right? So if you're learning a system or a body of work that helps you improve yourself, it should be evident to the people around you. And I think one of the main points that I've gotten over my time in Freemasonry is that you get out of it what you put into it, right? Because the Masonic ritual is like an onion, right? The deeper you go, the more value and more meaning, and sort of the more boiled down it gets. But ultimately, it requires a willing participant, someone who's going to stick to their sort of convictions to be a part of this, and then to then exemplify that in your daily life. And it's not easy, right? Even though I've been a Mason for almost 2 decades, this is still a learning process, and I make mistakes, right? But part of life is realizing when those things come up, and then being comfortable sort of embracing that, and then making a different play the next time, which Johnny also mentioned, you know, like, be calm, take stock of where you are and what's happening so that you can make the right decision. Acting off the cuff or emotionally can get you into trouble. But if you kind of think things through and then make a concerted effort to follow a decision that makes sense to you, everyone will end up in a better place. And I think that just by virtue of people being around that sort of person, it can really have a profound effect on everyone around you.
Fantastic. I want to thank you guys both for being on the show and really talking about this project, which obviously you guys have dedicated so much time to, and put your own personal wealth on the line, and really for all that you've done for the fraternity up to this point. And I hope you guys never stop doing what you're doing. I was just so excited to see. I think the California Mason does a great job of profiling members of their fraternity under their jurisdiction. And I have to give a shout out to your editor who was on it, man. Like, I sent them an email. They connected me with you guys in an instant. It's like you guys have people in your organization that actually respond to emails, which is insane.
You know what? Everyone's really excited about this project, and I don't mean to say that boastfully. I think we're truly blessed, and we're incredibly grateful for the support that we've gotten. Johnny mentioned the Grand Lodge of California, and I'm Alan Caslow and the whole team there on Knob Hill. They've just really been very excited about it. Grandmaster John Heisner has been a huge supporter of ours this year, as well as grandmasters, past grandmasters who have come before him. I mean, we've really gotten a lot of input from people, and the support is just amazing. And I think the reason is that most folks understand what we're trying to do, and they want to be a part of that, because we truly think it's going to have a profound effect on those who observe it and internalize it.
Yeah, I can't imagine a world where it doesn't. So congrats on this. Before we let you guys go, where can people find you guys? And if you have any plugs, feel free, and we'll make sure that we link everything in our show notes as well.
Yeah, everybody can find us at facebook.com/theroyalartmovie. And if you want to attend the Red Carpet World Premiere, you can get tickets at freemasonry.eventbrite.com.
Awesome. Well, I'll make sure I put both of those in our show notes. And again, thank you so much, guys.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you having us.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that interview. Please check the show notes for the links. Remember, Friday, the 13th of October, the premiere is happening, and there'll be much more happening up until that point where it's released next February on DVD. So keep your eyes and your ears peeled and share the links everywhere to get this thing out there. Let's make sure the brothers get to the theaters to see this, whether you're going to check it out at your Scottish Rite Valley, a Blue Lodge, or a Grand Lodge sessions, as is the case with the premiere on, again, Friday, October 13th. At Grand Lodge Sessions in California. They've got an exclusive screening, so remember to check out the links in the show notes to get your tickets for that and share the trailer. And that's it. So our episode with Adam Thayer will be next week, actually, and I'll be back the week after that. So again, many thanks to Adam Thayer. Sorry we had to push your episode back 1 week. Just wanted to make sure we got this out there for the masses, and all the brothers who are involved are really excited about this. So that's it. Please remember to check out the Midnight Freemasons 3 times a week, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, for original content, great articles, great points of view, whether it's history, philosophy, or again, anecdotal stories. It's always there for you 3 times a week. And if you like Masonic podcasts, please don't forget to check out the Masonic Roundtable every Tuesday at 10, 9 Central. We go live. Interact with us via the feed there on Facebook or on Twitter. Just use the hashtag, whatever the show episode is. That's it for this week, guys, and I'll talk to you in a couple weeks. Until then, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.